Good morning. It's Monday, April the 20th, and I hope this beautiful spring day finds all of you well, though perhaps not where you would prefer to be. Many are home from work, children are home from school, and actually, as we've gotten these questions in for the Q&A, that's something we'll address in a couple of podcasts from now, and that is, what is that impact on our home, our families drawn together closer than we're perhaps used to? And out of that, sometimes conflict or opportunity. So we'll talk about that in a couple of podcasts. Today we have questions that I mentioned to you that revolve around the economy. But before we get to that, I hope you enjoyed the Lord's Day yesterday, separated though we were, and can remain hopeful that we'll be back together again soon. We watched yesterday morning in my home the upload of the sermon that we shared from here at Grace, and then we also watched Dr. MacArthur, and then last night joined the Q&A from Grace out in California. So it was a full day of blessing and nurture through that medium that's not our ordinary medium, but God is nonetheless using it, I think. I hope you'll continue to send in questions. I am getting quite a list, but we'll enjoy dealing with these, I hope, every day this week. And so again, today's question comes from the realm of economics. And here's the way the questions are stated, a couple of them. Number one, how is a Christian in America supposed to respond to government economic policies, and in particular, these benefits that are being extended to the citizens? And then another question, how is a Christian supposed to give to the church during such difficult times? How do we continue to give sacrificially in the middle of a crisis? All right, so both of those questions come from the world of economics, a world that is not foreign at all to Scripture. God has a lot to say about money and how we manage our money. In the email with this podcast that's going out, you'll see a link to a series that we dealt with here not too many months ago concerning money and the Christian's right use of it. But let's start here. It's very, very important when you confront a question in the middle of or that is born out of a difficult circumstance that you recognize that Christian principles undergird or serve as a foundation to all circumstances. In other words, we don't want to take our circumstance and try to read that back into what Scripture might say about it. We'll find oftentimes confusion there, or we'll tend to make God's Word say what we had hoped it would say, but rather we should see biblical principles as a foundation that speak into our circumstances. Now, that's not to deny that this current circumstance is an unusual one. If you're following the news at all, the economic impact of this virus is promising to be one of an astronomical scale, not just here in the United States, but around the world. So you're noticing our government leaders now focused on how to start things back up, so that we can limit the economic loss, but also the emotional and physical consequences of suffering the stress of an economy that's now pressing in on a lot of Americans, and Christians are not exempt from that. So let me give you the principles that undergird such a crisis so that we can see clearly what we might learn and how we might respond during such a circumstance. And I'm going to go to Scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 is always a text that Christians should run to when they have questions about money, about the handling of our finances. And it addresses, interestingly, handling finances in a difficult time, in a difficult context. So 2 Corinthians chapter 9, if you want to grab your Bible, you can follow along. And here's what the Apostle Paul writes. Now it is superfluous for me to write to you about the ministry for the saints, for I know your readiness, of which I boast about you to the people of Macedonia, saying that Achaia has been ready since last year, and your zeal has stirred up most of them. But I'm sending the brothers so that our boasting about you may not prove empty in this matter, so that you may be ready, as I said you would be. Otherwise, if some Macedonians come with me and find that you're not ready, we would be humiliated, to say nothing of you, for being so confident. So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to go on ahead to you and arrange in advance for the gift you have promised, so that it may be ready as a willing gift, not as an exaction. Verse 6, the point is this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You'll be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others. While they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you, thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. Well, the principles there's really a myriad of them, but let's see if we can pull out some foundational principles, and that's really how Paul begins if you look back up to verse 6. He says this, the point is this. I might translate that, the foundation is this, or the principle is this. And he gives a principle, an inviolable principle woven in really to creation itself. Whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. That's a principle. It's an agricultural picture of spreading seed. If you spread only a few seed, then despite the harvest that might come, you should not expect a bountiful harvest. If you sow a bountiful seed, there's every reason to expect a bountiful harvest. Now, what Paul talks about as far as sowing and reaping, that principle really undergirds more than just economics. It undergirds a lot of areas of our Christian life. It is such a principle, such a natural law principle, that you can apply it in a myriad of places. But Paul's applying it in particular, verse 7, to giving. He's applying it to how Christians should handle their money. And he then weaves into his answer how God responds with his giving. So giving is the theme. If you go down to the end of this chapter, which we read, verse 15, giving is still the theme, or it's the exclamation, thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. So a principle number one, how you sow determines how you reap. Principle number two, that giving should model or mimic God's giving. And God's giving in verse 15 is said to be an inexpressible giving. We most often refer to that as his grace. Verse 14, his surpassing grace. So God pours out grace. God pours out generosity. God pours out gifts. And those gifts aren't just spiritual gifts. Certainly we think of that as believers. It was a remarkable gift. The gift of Christ as our Savior. The gift of grace that applies his redemption and forgives us of our sins, giving us eternal life. But there's more than that. There's also the physical provision, which is a grace of God, an inexpressible gift. Notice back up in verse 10, it's God who supplies the seed. So certainly you want to spread your seed generously, but you must acknowledge that the seed comes from God himself. So God supplies the seed, and you're expected to sow it. You're expected to share it. Sharing of the seed that God gives you. And clearly you can see that. Not only is Paul saying it's God's way, but it must be your way. Verse 14, take the seed, rightly use it, and in every way be generous. In every way be generous. Verse 12, that's ministry, that's service. And it meets the needs of other people, and it also meets the important responsibility of giving thanks to God. All right, so we are getting some principles here. Principle number one, you have to sow if you want to reap. And the more you sow, the more you reap. He's applying that to giving. And you are to give the way God gives. God gives generously. God gives in inexpressible ways. And as it regards our material needs, He gives to us so that we might share. He gives to us so that we might share. And then we should have a commitment to sharing. We should have a dedication to sharing. So when the inquirer asks, how do we give? How do we give sacrificially in the middle of an economic crisis? Well, the answer is we give with this foundation. We give knowing that if we start sowing sparingly, we'll reap sparingly, because that's a principle. We give knowing that God will always supply everything according to His mercy. We give knowing that we must mimic God in His giving. It must be one filled with generosity. And we give knowing that no matter the seed we spread, God adds seed. God always gives seed in order that we might share. Now back to the question. How do we give sacrificially? Well, that's how we do it. We give knowing, as the old preacher would say, that you can never outgive God. He's pouring out the windows of heaven, he says in the Old Testament, and He expects you to use that, to sow that, to spread that, to share that. We do it from a heart of compassion. We do it from a heart of thanksgiving. And we do it in abundance. We do it in abundance. And so I don't think that it's reasonable for any Christian in a time like this to suggest that somehow the circumstance alters the foundational principle. In other words, the need to give is in many ways during a circumstance where great needs are expressed not only here but around the globe, the need to give is even greater. But one might say, but our circumstance is so difficult. Well, a couple of things I would say there. Inform your perspective of your circumstance from a broader picture than just how it used to be a few weeks ago, how it used to be a few months ago. Because at least here in our fellowship, we're not aware of a single family that is suffering want or need. Every need is met. Certainly things are not what they used to be, and the budget may be a little tighter and even threatened in some areas. But every need is met. God is showing us that He is still able to provide everything we need. And therefore, nothing that's happened, if we rightly inform the circumstance with a biblical perspective, nothing's happened yet that should change our heart of generosity, our desire to give. But yet some would say, still, how do I give when I'm not sure about tomorrow? Well, we trust our tomorrows to God. We talked about that on the last podcast. We're not to get out ahead of God. We're to trust Him in that sense. We give based on His promises. We give based on these principles, even here in 2 Corinthians 9. We don't give based on what we think tomorrow might hold. But there's another principle, and it's an important principle. The Apostle Paul also taught the Corinthians that they're to give from what they have, not from what they don't have. God doesn't expect us to give from an empty purse. He expects us to give from the purse that He has filled with His goodness. So many of you perhaps are learning that you might have to tighten, as we say, our belts a little, so that what? Well, so that we can continue to pay for our Netflix subscription, which is more necessary now than ever. Well, I won't deride that too much, but really the principle of girding our belts a little tighter should be driven by the very principles here in 2 Corinthians 9, so that we can continue to give, so that we can continue to be generous. Now, Paul is very practical because, well, at the beginning of the chapter, the first verses that we read, he points to some people who are expressing this level of generosity and confidence in God's provision during very difficult times that they're enduring. The context really is the Christians in Jerusalem that are suffering unemployment, suffering hunger even. There's been a famine in that area, and the Apostle Paul had informed the churches in Greece and Asia Minor, those churches, he had informed them of the need of the Christians in Jerusalem, and they had responded with an intention to give to support those needs, that by doing so, God would use them to sow graciously into the lives of those believers that were suffering. But what Paul says to the Corinthians, who had, by the way, made a promise to give, the Corinthians not suffering economic catastrophe, but rather living in abundance, as best we can understand their circumstance. But God challenges them and says, I know you were ready to give, verse 2, but I want to tell you about some people. I want to tell you about some people who are giving already. They weren't ready to give, but they're giving already. And they are the Macedonians. He's talking about individuals who are already giving. And they're giving from what they lack. In other words, they're having difficult circumstances, but they're still giving. They've decided to give from not their abundance, but to give from their need. You can see that better if you'll move back to chapter 8. Back in chapter 8, he talks specifically about those Macedonians. And in verse 1, he says, I want you to know about those brothers from those churches in Macedonia. In verse 2, he gives us their context. In a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty has overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. We might write ourselves into that, though I don't think it's fair, but some of you think it's fair, so let's write ourselves into that. American believers, in a severe test of affliction, through an abundance of joy, even though they're suffering an economic catastrophe, are still nonetheless overflowing in a wealth of generosity. They're still giving. Verse 3, they gave according to their means, but then they gave beyond their means, and they did it of their own accord. They even begged us for ways that they could give more, that they could take part in relieving saints who were suffering in Jerusalem. In verse 5, Paul says, we were surprised by this. We were shocked by this. And then, verse 6, he says, I'm sending Titus to challenge you by this. Because verse 7, you excel in everything. You've got faith and speech and knowledge and earnestness. But I also want you to see that you need to excel in this act of grace. You need to stay a giver because Christians are givers. Verse 8, he's careful. He's not commanding giving. God never commands giving. Giving is always an expression of gratitude despite our circumstances. But verse 9 says, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know how he gave. Even though he was rich, he became poor, so that by his poverty, you would become rich. Verse 12, you've been ready to give. And as you consider your readiness, now mark this, Christian, mark this, those who ask, how do we give in difficult times? Mark this, it's acceptable to give based on what you desire, but based also on what you have, not according to what you don't have. I don't want to burden you. I don't want your burden to become somebody else's burden. But yet, look carefully at what you have. Look carefully, perhaps, at more than you need. And then give. Give generously. Give graciously. Whoever, verse 15, he says in chapter 8, gathered much, had nothing left over. And whoever gathered little, had no lack. It's just a repeated and repeated and repeated principle. Christians, in any circumstance, trust God, give thanks, and give generously. This church, Grace Community Church, modeled that heart in the month of March. A lot of uncertainty suddenly rushed in. We can't assemble anymore. Some are told they can't work anymore. But yet your giving still abounded. Your giving was still generous, and therefore your heart expressed a heart of God. So how is a Christian to give in difficult times? The same way a Christian always gives. Difficult times don't change biblical principles. So that's how we give. Now, let me back up then to the other question. How do Christians relate to government policy, to a government's intention to give, to pass out, to spread, as it were, economic relief? Well, there's a couple of things here that we would simply point to that we just have to keep pointing to during this COVID pandemic. Number one, the principle of submission. I won't reiterate what we've talked about over and over again, except to simply say that we gladly submit to the authorities that God has placed over us. And oftentimes we go to that, and most often we only go to that when we feel some imposition, and then we are humbled by God's command to submit, knowing that we're actually in that submitting to Him. But you also ought to run to that text from the opposite position. You see, Christians who are called to pay their taxes, to give honor where honor is due, and to submit to all the impositions that a government might place, short of any imposition to deny what God has commanded, then those Christians also need to understand that God blesses His people. He provides them peace. He provides them security, oftentimes through those deacons, those servants, those government officials. Just simply stated, and we've talked about this many times in times past, Christians should pay their taxes. They should pay every tax they owe. Secondly, Christians should not pay taxes they don't owe. Christians should take advantage of whatever government policy or tax policy allows them this deduction or that deduction. And then thirdly, Christians should benefit from the benefits produced by the taxes paid. There's nothing wrong with that. There's everything right about that. And some of you listening to me have not suffered any economic pinch and at the same time got a check in your bank account, a deposit from the government, and you maybe had a crisis of conscience. Is it okay for me to take this? I don't need this. The answer is it's a gift of God given through the servant of God, in that case, even His government. The second answer is it's a gift that, well, isn't free. It has to be paid for, and those of you who are still working and will continue to work are, in the end, going to pay for it someday. It might even be our children who pay for it, and that is as God's providence would dictate. But nonetheless, the money's in your bank account. What should you do with it? I think, first of all, you should do with it what is expected of you by the government who gave it to you. They want you to invest that. It's called an economic stimulus. They want you to invest it. They want you to use it. I read an article this morning, why every American should put their stimulus in savings. There's nothing wrong with saving, but I'm not sure that's the right use of the stimulus money. At least it doesn't accord with what the government had hoped you would use it for. They had hoped you would use it to sustain or to maintain the economy. Now, you might set it aside until the doors of the economy are reopened, but I think every Christian should be viewing the use of that money consistent with the giving of that money. But also beyond that, you say, well, I'll use that as an investment into the economy. I'll use it locally, perhaps. I'll use it globally, perhaps. However you're led to use it to invest in the economy. But that, nonetheless, is positioning your economy. Your personal finances have been improved. They've been improved by some amount of money, individually or in your family. Well, you ought to also then use that money the way God intends the money to be used. All right, He intends the money given by the government to be used consistent with the government's giving of it, but He also intends you to use all your money consistent with His giving of it. You might say the government sowed a seed, but the seed was given by God, and we always chase it back to God and say, how would you, God, have me use this money? And I would simply say, if you have a means to back up into this podcast, just back up, at least in your mind, to the very beginning. He wants you to use that money the way He wants you to use all the good gifts that He gives you, with thanksgiving, to meet your needs, and so that you might give generously. So that's how I think a Christian responds in the middle of an economic crisis or in the middle of an economic bounty. Because you see, the biblical principles don't change, though our circumstances may vary. And then let me add this from the Apostle Paul. He says of himself that he had much to learn in his Christian walk, and this was one of the lessons. I've learned to be content. I've learned to be content when I had a bounty, and I've learned to be content when I had lack. And I would say, Be content, Christian, with where God has you, where God has us. For we are indeed a people most blessed, and therefore may we give thanks. Well, that's all for now. Next time, we'll take up another question.